Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. It is 5 minutes past one. You're talking with a slightly fluey Pete Dillon, taking you through until 2 o'clock for Cravings. We're talking tubers and truffles. Do you know anything about them? By the end of this hour, my word you will. I've got chefs, I've got providors, I've got all sorts of people. So stand by. Yes, we are talking cravings because we do this every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Hello, I'm Pete Dillon. As I said in that little intro, slightly fluey. Thank you to the gorgeous children bringing things home from childcare centres and God knows where. Speaking of children, Matthew Thompson, thank you for the news. That boy seriously has a voice that would melt butter, even when you took it out of the fridge. Thanks also to Jody and Lynn. A great show, Detours. Nice talking about walking in the regions and things. But talking of things in regions and walking and the country, I've got a country boy sitting in front of me. He is the executive chef at Taxi Dining Room, Tony Twitchard. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Pull that microphone really close to you, mate, for a second.
Closer,
oh,
there you go.
Better. Now I can hear you.
Yeah.
And so can the thousands of people listening in. And from Georgie's Harvest in South Melbourne Market, shop number 50. We're allowed to say that because it's contextual. Have the very gorgeous Georgie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pete.
Welcome. Now, I've got you here because you're a bit of an expert on the spuds and things, aren't you?
Definitely. Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about all sorts of tubers because it's not just potatoes. Some of the beautiful turmeric is in season.
Yes, we have beautiful turmeric, garlic, galangal. But we're mostly proud, I think, of our 24 different types of potatoes.
And amazing potatoes they are. Mm-hmm. You can perhaps talk us through what's in season so we know what to mash, what to boil, what to bake, what to...
Yeah. So probably one of the best roasters right now would be your King Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also very excited because we have Maris Pipers that Heston Blumenthal was talking about recently and are very, very hard to get in Australia. But we have a fantastic little farmer in Tasmania, in Pyangana, who has specifically grown the seed stock for the Maris Piper.
Wow.
So that's a really awesome, unique roast.
Mm-hmm.
Mashing right now is a Blue Czar, again, grown in Tasmania, and I think it's a pretty impressive mash. Tony's
she's
nodding.
Sitting there nodding
yeah.
with
yeah,
you.
Tony's
or she
nodding.
Gave me some last week. It was awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, forced upon everybody. If I hear the word mash, I'm like, you have to try this mash. No, you don't make gnocchi until you use a Blue Czar.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah. What's a good use for a Dutch cream potato?
Honestly, if I could only sell one potato, it would be a Dutch cream. A Dutch cream boiled, roasted, mashed. It is a really beautiful potato. Me, personally, just chop it up really big bits, boil it, and then olive oil, garlic, chili, squeeze of lemon, that's it. Just boiled potatoes with olive oil, garlic, and a squeeze of lemon.
It must have salt.
Fantastic.
Potatoes love salt.
Potatoes friendly salt. Exactly right, Pete.
Now, we're also going to speak to, very shortly, to Matt McCartney. He's the chef at Chateau Yering in the Yarra Valley. He's about to go on a truffle hunt. At 1:30 he leaves because he's doing a dinner tonight and a dinner tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is part of the Melbourne Fringe Food Festival. He's doing a truffle dinner down there at Chateau Yering. So we're going to have a chat to him about what this truffle hunt actually involves. We are going to talk quite a bit about truffles because it's the season for them, and a lot of people don't know that we actually grow beautiful truffles right here in Victoria. We're going to the Cape Otway, the very gorgeous Deep Earl growing beautiful truffles down there. Matt's obviously going to flip around the Yarra Valley and find some good truffles out of Tassie as well, and also from further afield in WA. We should be eating Australian truffles as compared to European truffles because...
Well, now they've just really... A lot of people are actually realising that the Australian truffles... are equal or on par to French and Italian truffles.
And they don't have to travel.
They don't have to travel.
So they're from up the road, quite literally.
Yes.
100%. So the perfume stays with them for a lot longer. Mm.
I'd like to hear your thoughts. 0427 Joy 949. Send an SMS to us. You can email on air at joy.org.au or you can do things the old-fashioned way. Ring 1300 Joy 949. Speak to Mushin sitting on the front desk. He'll happily run a little message in here. It's also Bastille Day today, so as the show progresses, we'll play a little bit of music that is French or inspired by French. But I found a song for you, Georgie. I'm just going to pop it on because I think it's a bit hilarious. This is from a CD called Rewiggled, and this is The Living End, and they're doing, of course, The Wiggles' Hot Potato.
Come with us as we take you to all new heights. Joy 94.9.
Yes, good afternoon. 13 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. Pete Dillon with you with Cravings right through until 2 o'clock before the boys from Fender Bender join us. If you're wondering why you heard a Wiggles song just now, it was in fact The Living End doing their version of Hot Potato, and we're playing that because Georgie's here from Georgie's Harvest. They are the potato experts at Stall 50 at South Melbourne Market. And also with me is a fellow by the name of Tony Twitchett. He's a very, very well-known chef. He is currently the exec chef at Taxi Dining Room right in the centre of Melbourne at Federation Square, doing some extraordinary food. A bit of a Japanese flavour to what you do, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Mm. We do play off the Japanese, yeah.
Well, inspired, should we say inspired by the Japanese cuisine?
Yes, yes, 100%. I mean, I've always been fond of, like, the Southeast Asian cuisine and the Chinese cuisine, but once I started working at Taxi and working with the likes of Kinsan, it's just so much fun just sort of like playing around with mirin sake.
And Kinsan is your sushi chef.
Yes. 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 So I've learned a lot from that man.
He's a good guy, Kinsan, and very quiet for a chef.
Yeah, but enthusiastic about food.
Oh, absolutely, as, of course, chefs should be. Now, speaking of people enthusiastic about food, very short in stature but very big in personality, I have a buddy of mine on the phone, and he's about to go on a truffle hunt, so we thought we should talk to him and see what that, in fact, entails. He's from Chateau Yering in the Yarra Valley. He is Matt McCartney. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Tony. Good afternoon, Pete. How are we?
And say g'day to Georgie as well.
Hi, Georgie.
Hello.
So,
how are we all?
Good, mate. You're about to go on a truffle hunt. What will this entail and where are you doing it and why?
Okay, well, we're on a bus right now on our way out to Tipperburra, which is out in the Yarra Valley, and we're about to do a hunt with 30 of my closest friends. We're actually truffle guests.
I was going to say, where did you find 30 close friends? Because you... Yeah. Anyway.
Stop picking on me because I'm short, yeah?
That's all right. You can pick on me because I'm fat.
No. We're doing this is our sort of Bastille Day truffle weekend. So tonight we're doing an 8-course degustation with Match Wines from Pommery, and we're heading out to go hunt some truffles now. Pull some nice ones out of the ground, and we'll be serving them tonight with our degustation.
So I'm assuming that each of those 8 courses in the degustation will somehow feature truffle, including dessert?
Including dessert.
Yeah, good. Nice work, mate.
it's an interesting menu. I've got a very decadent dish on there of it's like a pativia or a pie with foie gras and truffle inside it.
Tony's actually sitting here twitching late when you say that.
Yeah, it's a mad dish, but I've been having a bit of fun playing with all the dishes this week, so it's going to be a very good night.
Now, one of the questions that was asked here in the studio when I talked about you going on a truffle hunt, are you taking pigs or are you taking dogs?
Dogs.
Right, now, I'm going to talk to you about this because my research tells me, and stand by for this, there's only one dog who is recognised for sniffing out truffles. The breed is the Legotto Romagnolo, which is a European breed of dog. What dogs are you taking?
Hounds. I mean, we use So either, like, you can use Labradors, you can use a lot of different dogs. And I mean, the trick is just training them from when they're a puppy with a truffle toy. So you inoculate a toy with a bit of truffle essence or truffle flavour or something like that, and you make it their favourite toy and they play with it. And so when they go out to hunt for truffles, that's the aroma they're picking up, because obviously their nose are a lot to the house.
And then, of course, you have another dinner tomorrow night, which is part of the Melbourne Fringe Food Festival, which is truffle-based as well.
Yes, it is. So we're backing it up tomorrow night, and we're doing wines matched from Punt Road, and some apple cider and some pear cider. So, yeah, that'll be a bit of fun, and there's some snail action going on as well. So
oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
A bit francophile.
So, mate, let's talk about the truffles you're finding. I'm assuming they are black truffles.
Yes, they are tuber melon spore, which is the winter truffle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from, obviously, inoculated oak trees that are imported from France.
Yep.
And they grow at this time of year. I mean, they're growing all around Australia at the moment. Tasmania and Mangip in WA and...
Cape Otway, just down on the Great Ocean Road near Apollo Bay.
Yeah, so I might have the chef from tomorrow night for the dinner.
Is that Steve?
Steve
Earle? No?
Yeah, he's
at La Bimba.
Yeah, at La Bimba.
Yeah.
He owns his truffery out there, and
there's a very interesting...
If you could bring any truffles for me tomorrow night.
A very interesting story to be told about Steve Earle, and we shall tell it on this program in its entirety one day, but he couldn't find a lamb and beef supplier that would give him the right... information about the lamb and the grass that it had had, and whether the grass was treated with pesticide, whether the all the right things were done with the lamb and beef. So he bought a farm, and the farm contained a truffery, and he's an amazing young man. But back to you. Do you know how big the biggest truffle in the Southern Hemisphere was to date? Came from Tasmania. See, I'm full of trivia today, useless trivia as it may seem. In June 2010, some Tasmanian growers by the name of Michael and Gwyneth Williams harvested Australia's largest truffle from their property at Myrtlebank near Launceston. It weighed 1.084 kilograms.
Wow.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah. It was valued at about $1,500 per kilo. So they probably got about $1,700 for just that one little truffle, which is kind of exciting.
Well, I got one last week. It was 200 grams from Tasmania.
Wow, yeah. That would cost a small fortune.
Yeah, they're good fun, though. People love them.
But
I had a look at one yesterday that was 310 grams, which is pretty decent.
Yeah, I think the biggest one we've had... yeah, I think the biggest one we've had in our store, I think, was 320 grams.
And that come from where?
From the Otways, from Steve, beautiful. From the Otways.
Now, This is an open question for all of you here. What is the best way now? Because I'm assuming there's people at home who will be listening and going, oh, okay, I'm going down to Madame Truffles, who we're going to talk to shortly, Bernadette from Madame Truffles. I'm going to buy a truffle, just a small one, the size of a marble, perhaps, because they're ridiculously expensive. What am I going to do with this? What would be your favourite thing, Matt?
Well, at home, I mean, obviously, what I do with the dinners and things like that, I try to make them a little bit extravagant and always, make sure that we're doing something interesting and something that you never do at home.
Yes.
But whereas with a truffle at home, you serve it simply shaved over a beautiful creamy pasta or with a poached egg or with, some nice wet polenta.
Yeah.
Really simple stuff like that. And, I mean, truffles love fat.
So do I, obviously.
Makes a great foil for the truffle.
Tony, what would you do with a truffle? I'm going to give you a lump of truffle. What are you going to do with it?
Oh, exactly. I'd just make some gnocchi and then just, with a microplane, just shave the hell out of it. Get it all over the plate and just, yeah.
Would I, Georgie?
Our customers have been scrambled eggs. So a lot of Sunday scrambled eggs, them and just maybe their partner, maybe some kids come over. And scrambled eggs is the way we're going forward. Yeah.
See, I'd make gnocchi, blue cheese sauce, with some slippery jacks as well, and then shave the truffle on top, because there's all the earthiness of blue cheese and the earthiness of the mushrooms, because they are, in fact, a fungus, and Matt told us just a minute ago they are the tuber melanus sporum, which are the black truffles, which is what we get here. Brilliant Savarin called them the diamond in the kitchen, and these things have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, coming back to Cicero, the Roman philosopher. How long have we been growing them here, Matt? Do you know?
I think, I know it was like late 90s Tasmania was the first group to be sort of properly growing truffles. I think it took them 10 years to dig up their first truffle. So, yeah, I think they were among the first in Australia.
Yeah. So Tasmanian were the first to grow it, and I think that was mid-90s?
1999 they harvested their first, but they'd been trying for 8 years to get the truffle.
And the Otways were actually the first truffle trees planted in Victoria. So it's the oldest truffery in Victoria. That's why his yield for the amount of trees he's got is so high, because his trees are more mature than any of the other Victorian varieties.
Now, Matt, you said you're using dogs. I know that Steve uses both dogs and pigs. He said the problem with the pigs is they don't only sniff out the truffle, but they eat them.
Yeah, because it's I think it's the female pig gives off the same scent as the truffle.
Well, it's actually now stand by. Here he is with more useless information. You can tell I've been at home sick with nothing to do. The female pig's natural truffle seeking, as well as their intent to eat the truffle, is due to a compound within the truffle that is similar to androstenol, which is the sex pheromone from the saliva of a boar, to which the sow is keenly attracted.
There you go.
See? I am full of useless information. So you're off to do the hunt. So you've got 30 of your mates there. How far away are you going from the Yarra Valley? Matt? Hello?
We're about three quarters of the way there now.
And where are you going to?
We're going out to Timbavura, which is in the but it's...
Okay, Matt, I'm going to let you go because clearly your phone is not with the major carrier and you're going out of range and we're losing you. Going to Tibberborough. We'll chat with Matt McCartney again very soon, mate. Thank you. It sounds like a bit of fun. I want to go truffle hunting now.
Yeah, it's one thing I've never done. I think I'd love to do it. I mean, I've gone mushroom picking.
I love going mushrooming. Yeah. And this is a good season. Get out on your wellies. And
Thursday.
What's on Thursday?
That's when the Otways harvest every Thursday, because we get delivery on Friday, so he delivers on Thursday.
Ah,
so
there's a secret.
Dolores is going, because he uses the pig, and the pig's name is Dolores. Dolores is going a hunting on Thursday.
I love the fact that he has a pig called Dolores. I think that I love that indeed. Maybe we should take a bit of a drive down there in a couple of weeks, Twitch, and go on a truffle hunt with him.
Done.
I think
done
that'll be
done.
Fun.
Yeah.
Take a Thursday off. Get a leave pass.
All right then.
From Taxi Dining Room. Now, there's so much information I have about truffles, and in a little bit we're going to talk to Bernadette from Madame Truffles, because she has this pop-up store that sort of happens every truffle season in South Melbourne, and she has truffles from WA and Tassie and Victoria and stuff, and she's very excited. She gets very excited about
beautiful
truffles.
Store.
Like
beautiful.
You get excited about potatoes. Why potatoes, Georgie?
They help change the world. They are feeding third world countries now. They taste good and they, in general, make most people very, very happy. Like, I've yet to have a customer that comes in and buys potato against their will. Like, the husbands walk into my store and it's like, honey, I'll do this one. Whereas, you know, sit back, I've got this under control. And, you know, people come into our store and ask us, you know, what's the best masher and what's the best roaster? And, you know, it's for birthday parties. It's for really happy, beautiful occasions. So it's just a pleasure to work in the store.
And it's interesting because potatoes, of course, were originally considered a food for a poor man.
Absolutely.
The Irish potato famine was responsible for a fairly large portion of the Australian population who immigrated out of Ireland to come and find, you know, well, something to eat, apart from anything else here in Australia. And so we love them. People keep talking to me about the fact that they won't eat potatoes because there's too much starch and it gives them heartburn, gas, all sorts of things. How would you counter that?
I think a lot of it is because people like to go carb-free, and there's a really big push for carb-free. And a lot of research is coming out now to say that it does lower potatoes do lower your cholesterol. It's not the potatoes that have anything negative. Like, they're higher in vitamins, they're lower in carbs than brown bread and brown rice and brown pasta. It's what we do to them when you do add half
butter,
a litre
butter
and cream. I saw a chef prepare a mash even last night where he literally poured 300 mils of cream into this mash, and I'm like, of course it tastes fantastic. So it's what we do to the potatoes. And I think by buying a better quality potato that has a more unique taste, you can do less to it. So, you know, one of my favourite dishes is just a boiled potato with olive oil, chilies and garlic, squares of lemon, and, as you said, you know, a good quality salt.
Yeah.
That's an amazing meal, and it's really, really good for you compared to 100 grams of any other product. So I think it's also changing that model, and everything within, you know, proportion is good. Nicola potatoes are a low GI potato.
A low GI potato.
Yeah, so the Nicola is the low GI. It's also...
Have they been specifically bred to be low GI, or is it just a natural forming thing with
it's
them?
It's a natural forming thing, and I think different sugar levels in the different potatoes have a different outcome on their GI value.
Right.
It's like sweet potatoes are also a low GI.
I love sweet potatoes. I made a little thing last night. The kids wanted pies, so I just got some sweet potatoes, some pumpkin, some potatoes, cooked them all up together, gave them a bit of a mash, threw some fresh peas in, and then made like Bubble and Squeak, and it was so good I had to have more for breakfast.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And, of course, some Myrtleford butter in with that. And that's just spectacular.
Exactly.
It is 27 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. This is Cravings. We're talking about all things fattening today. Not really. We're talking about tubers and truffles. We've spoken a bit about truffles. We're going to speak some more about those as well. But we're also going to talk about some other tubers that you can find in at George's Harvest in South Melbourne. But we'll have some messages, and we might celebrate Bastille Day with a bit of a song before we come back. This is Cravings on Joy 94.9. It's 27 minutes past one.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. This is Cravings. Pete Dillon with you. It is 27 minutes to 2. And in the studio, I have with me the very lovely Georgie from Georgie's Harvest, who's here talking about potatoes and truffles and tubers and all sorts of scrummy, yummy things. And the discussions while we were playing that song by Nouvelle Vague, one of my homages to Bastille Day. And Tony was talking about... pomme fondant, which he's going to talk about again, how they do them at Taxi Dining Room. He is, of course, Tony Twitchard. He is the executive chef at Taxi. We couldn't do a show that involved truffles without, of course, Madame Truffle. This store opens every winter. It opened on the 22nd of June, just near Sutter Alley in South Melbourne. It's open every weekend from 9 until 4. And joining me is, in fact, herself, Madame Truffles. Bernadette, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pete.
How are you?
I'm very well.
I tell you, have one of the sexiest voices on the telephone I've heard in some time.
I think it's my lisp.
Yeah, maybe. You actually sound like one of the characters from The Big Bang Theory. There's a girl called, not Penny, but the other one. She's lovely. Anyway, you sound a little like her, and I'm sure I have to come and meet you and have this discussion in person, I think.
It's
bordering on sycophantic. Tony is in the studio with me, as is Georgie, and we wanted to talk to you about truffles because you have this almost obsessive ideology of truffles, do you not?
That's right, that's right. We only sell truffle, and we only sell fresh truffle, and we hunt down truffle from all around Australia and try and find the freshest truffle that we can find.
Where do you find them?
We find them in WA, in Manjimup, in Pemberton, in New South Wales, in Braidwood, in Tasmania, in Mole Creek, Deloraine, Tamar Valley, and in Victoria, we've been speaking with Steve from Otway's Truffle, who I think George
yes.
knows.
Who he's also featured very well on this show already today.
Mm. Oh, wow. Great.
Yes, we're fans of his, all of us. So do you get in the car and quite literally go for a drive, or do you know now that you've been established long enough that people will come to you and say, hey, I'm growing truffles here? I know there was some a couple of years ago. My niece lives up near Dalesford in Trentham, and she rang me and said, some people here have got some truffles. Would you like some? And they were just locally grown truffles from Trentham.
Yep, we take truffles from anywhere, and we have phone calls from people, and we get sent truffles in the post to try, and then we check them for quality. If they're ripe, if the aroma's there, if they're a good size, then we take them and we sell them.
George, you were talking just before we started talking to you about going and doing a smelling, if you will, in Madame Truffles in South Melbourne, where you can... detect the difference, obviously dealing with the same product with the tuber melanosporum, but you said the difference in smell is quite obvious.
Amazing. So I came down to your store I think it was your second day, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
And then had an absolutely wonderful experience of actually getting to see the contrasting smells between the different regions. So we only have the ones from the Otways, but getting to smell the different truffles in your store was just a really beautiful experience.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's so surprising when you smell a truffle from Braidwood that's really smoky, and then you compare it with a truffle from WA that's very cheesy and olivey. It's quite profound.
Tony, you've got a question.
I do have a question. Did you find Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Do you find that the different states have different peaks in their seasons? Can you...
Yeah.
Yeah. So would you say the seasons that last for about 2 months in total, but then which one sort of peaks early and which ones fade off?
Do you know what? And last year was different from this year, which is surprising. And I think it's to do with getting enough frost and also getting enough sunshine and no rain. So we found this year that Braidwood in New South Wales was ripe mid to late June, whereas WA took a couple of weeks to come in, and Tamar Valley and Deloraine in Tasmania have only really come in July.
Yeah, there you go.
Bernadette, what is it? Is it soil that makes a difference to truffles? And I was making the assumption that, like, a Pinot Noir that you would drink from the Yarra Valley is going to be different to a Pinot Noir from Geelong because of difference in the ripening stages, in the soil, and the amount of sun, and the way the vines are grown. Is it the same with truffles?
It is the same. It's to do with soil. It's to do with trees. In the different truffiers that we supply their truffles, the trees are different. In Braidwood, they use hazelnut and oak. In Tasmania, they only use oak. In WA, they only use hazel trees. So it's a tree, it's the soil, and it's absolutely the climate. You've got to have frosty nights and warm days for the truffle to ripen.
Okay, and how do the truffles are obviously graded, so there's extra class, first class.
That's right.
What's the difference?
Okay, so an extra class truffle is the cream of the crop, and that needs to be a good size with hardly any blemish on the truffle, and it needs to have a good aroma. It needs to be firm when you feel it, and it needs to be more than about 15 to 20 grams. A first class truffle can have maybe a blemish, but still have a good aroma, and it might be a cut truffle. So we would call it maybe a family truffle, where you might have to cut some of the truffle out and then the rest you can use. It's still a really good truffle.
And is there then a second class or a second grade?
There's no standard for a second grade, but from there we would probably call it a family truffle. So we would go extra grade, first class maybe, then family truffle.
And what can you? Somebody gave me a little tip that if I shave the outside of the truffle and get some of the firmer bits, and I steep those into some warm oil, not hot but warm, and then let that oil cool and then bottle it, I can use it like my own truffle oil.
Wow, that's such a contentious issue, the truffle oil, isn't it?
Well, I know, yes. And I know truffle oil is an ugly thing to say to somebody like yourself, but it is part of the broader discussion that maybe people's only experience to date with truffles, a bit of truffle oil on the scrambled eggs or what have you. So you can make your own truffle oil that is far more authentic to the flavour, though, can't you?
Look, you can. I think the thing with truffle oil is that it doesn't keep. Mm. And the structure of truffle and the structure of oil is that they don't really like each other very much. And that's why most truffle oil you buy in the dallies that cost you a fortune is actually synthetic, because it doesn't keep. So, look, you can make it and it lasts a few weeks.
Mm.
But it's not something... If you see a truffle oil with a use by of about 12 months, you know that they've often used a chemical compound to mimic the truffle. Mm.
Which is disappointing, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, it's so disappointing. Mm. It costs so much money and it's not real truffle.
And then, so we've talked about black truffles. Now, white truffles are different, and we don't grow them here, do we?
No. They're much more delicate. A black truffle, you get heat through it. It's great for our winter because we can put it in stews and fish and scrambled eggs. A white truffle we use very differently. It's such a delicate truffle, and it's grown in Italy and it's grown in Croatia.
Right.
However, so, I must say, there is someone in Australia who is trying to grow the white truffle, and I think he may just crack it.
Oh, who? Can you give us a hint or not?
I can tell you
state?
That he is not in Victoria.
Oh, okay, right.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay, that'll be good. Actually, tell me when I come into the shop, because I'm coming in this week. Because you also sell truffle slices and all of the accoutrement that we might need to deal with your truffle. Some truffle butter. We had Naomi Ingleton on a couple of weeks ago from Myrtleford, and she actually brought me in a little pot of truffle butter made with her butter and truffles that you sell that particular butter in the store.
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's divine, and Naomi is just wonderful and makes such beautiful butter. And yes, we've got truffle butter in two sizes. We have little sample truffle butters for people who just want to experiment and see what to do with it. They're only 25 grams, and then we've got a bigger butter that's 125 grams for people who
truffle
want a rubber chicken.
Truffle salt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you make truffle salt?
The key to truffle salt is to dry the truffle, because what happens is people make truffle salt and then after a week it's really wet.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to dry the truffle as much as you can before you mix it with the salt.
Right. Yeah. Now, of course, people can come down and buy truffle salt and truffle butter and truffle slices and, of course, truffles from Victoria, Tasmania, WA and... New South Wales. Why are they not coming out of South Australia?
Do you know, Pete, that is such a good question. I bet you there's a trufflery on the border of Victoria and South Australia.
Well, I'm just thinking of places like places around Mount Gambier, which have quite a cooler climate as compared to some of the rest of South Australia. I think we need to be on a mission, Bernadette, to find some South Australian truffles.
Okay, that's my next question. Thank you very
Excellent.
Much.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us. And, of course, if people want to call in and visit you, tell them exactly where you are.
Okay. We are in Yarra Place. It's number 1-5 upstairs. It's above the coffee roasters of Centali, so across the road from Centali.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a little space up the top there that's turned into a kind of mini French kitchen.
Beautiful.
And we're open Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
And you can, of course, you have a website?
We do. We have a website that's madamtruffles.com.au and we also do all online orders.
Beautiful. So people can call in and visit you. Bernadette, thank you for joining us. I understand it's, well, you should be in the middle of a busy day. So we'll let you get back to the store and thank you for your time.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks so much.
It's wonderful. Cheers.
Bye.
She's such a delight. I could listen to that voice forever. She's just so... cute.
Very.
Yeah. That is Madam Truffles. We might have some messages to keep this program on air and we'll be back to wrap this baby up.
Joy 94.9.
I have found another song and I think we should play it. This is a French group who have done a version of a song called Riders on the Storm. And I so liked it that I thought it behoved me to play it because it is Bastille Day, so you can enjoy it too.
Joy 94.9.
I think that is very, very groovy. Now, I should have written down the name of the band before I just put it into the thing. It's a French mob. I believe... no, it's not Nouvelle Vague. Thank you. It is... anyway, I can't find it, but... oh, yes, it's called Señor Coconut. And that is a very funky version of Riders on the Storm. I very much liked it and thought we all should enjoy it. It is 10 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. We have about... I don't know, 8 or 9 minutes to go, and we've to get through so much already. We've spoken about truffles. I'm putting my glasses on so I can see what I'm doing. We've spoken about potatoes, but we haven't explored the rest of the tubers, Georgie, from Georgie's mm-hmm. Harvest at South Melbourne Market,
mm-hmm.
That you stock in the store. And you're talking about things like turmeric and Australian garlic, which you just seem not to be able to buy anywhere at the minute.
No.
And gallon, all of those wonderful things. Because tuber mm-hmm. actually means something on its own. Let me see if I can find what it was.
Bulbous.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, something bulbous under the ground. I'm not giving it the correct translation, but a funny-looking thing in the ground, I think it was the Greek or Latin description of the word tuber.
Right.
Yeah. I think a funny-shaped thing, the funny-shaped root under the ground. I mean, I think it also had to do with its lumpiness, the fact that it wasn't just a long, elongated shape, but that it was a lumpy shape.
Mm.
And we have a lot of lumpy shapes, like the Jerusalem artichokes.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
Oh, my
which
God.
Which are currently
that is
in season right now.
Yeah, we can't
swelling or lump is what tuber means.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love Jerusalem artichokes, and they're not used enough.
Oh, we love them in the restaurants. Yeah.
What do you do with them, Tony?
Yeah.
Well, we just... At the moment we do it as a puree underneath some Moreton Bay bug tortellinis, yeah, with a little bit of truffle. But yeah, you can sweat them down in butter, caramelize them because they've got a really high sugar content, and the sugar level changes throughout the season. So the ones at the start of the season aren't as sweet, so they don't caramelize as easily. Mm. But as soon as you get some caramelization on it, you can put a little bit of cream in it and puree it down.
Oh.
You can peel the skins off it and actually fry the skins in some clarified butter.
Wow.
And eat the skins.
Well, I've known somebody, I was at a dinner, and Chef Paul Cooper, who's sadly...
Yeah, going to Sydney.
He's going to Sydney. I'm glad that's public knowledge. He's leaving us to go up to do something in Sydney, and we do wish him very well. He's a very good buddy of this program. He actually had artichoke skins that he'd almost made like pork cracklings, so we actually thought we're eating the skin of pork.
Wow. Clever.
But yeah, it was, in fact, artichoke skins from Jerusalem artichokes. It's phenomenal.
We just can't throw anything away in a kitchen, so...
Funny other thing that's in season, yellow squash.
Spaghetti squash?
No, unfortunately we can't get that. I don't know what happened to that season. Spaghetti squash just didn't happen this year for, we haven't been
too
up to
too cold, too wet, too hot?
I think maybe too wet, and I think that the floods sort of had an impact on that for the ongoing season, but we've
but
had
certainly a little yellow button squash.
Little yellow button squashes are beautiful right now, and they're actually so pretty. Like, we don't normally stock them because they're not a potato, but they've actually just been so pretty that we have brought them in. And the other thing that's in season right now, and it's quite seasonal, and there's only one person who we know, there's only one farmer we know that grows them here in Victoria, Tasmanian yams.
Oh my God, I love yams.
Yeah, Tasmanian yams. So they're a bit tangy.
Yeah.
And they're quite unique. So they're.
What's the difference between a yam and a sweet potato? It's a common misconception that yams are sweet potatoes.
Yeah, a sweet potato is a long, firm product. So it obviously looks like it is a sweet potato. A yam looks like a witchetty grub. It's probably about a finger long, and it's all bumpy and like a bright orange colour, almost crunchy to eat raw, and then has a texture of. A Jerusalem artichoke with lemon juice pre-made into it. So it's a really unique thing, and New Zealanders go crazy for them. But literally the season will last for as long as this farmer has stock. So that's an exciting, weird little veggie that comes out for just a flash in the pan, and it's really exciting that we can be part of those little quirky things that happen.
And I guess that's so much the joy of what you do.
Exactly.
You were talking earlier, I think we're off air, that... Yeah. You and your husband will go and order six sides of potatoes rather than ordering a main course. And you're obviously incredibly passionate about potatoes and tubers. And so it probably makes you more determined to find these unique products.
Absolutely. And what I, like, other than the fact that we're mostly a root vegetable store, including the mushrooms and the truffles right now, the sort of philosophy behind the story is that we really believe in having direct contact with the farmers and buying directly from farmers wherever we can. And what it means is our farmers get a really good price. So they're, and we don't have to pass any of that on to our customers because we're happy with our prices. So it's a mutually beneficial relationship with our farmers.
And you also then know how they treat their soil.
Exactly.
And the pesticides that they don't use or on occasion, I guess, do use. So there's a very holistic approach to dealing direct with farmer.
And I think you also really know your farmer when you meet them. You know what their approach is. And any farmer that's going to do more than three varieties is making their life difficult, therefore cares about their farm, and they're going to treat their farm with a lot of respect because they're really into what they're doing. So one of our Tasmanian farmers, he's got four more varieties. Now, to propagate a potato variety in Australia, you're looking at 3 years' worth of work. So he loves his land. He loves his potatoes. He could just stick with the Nicolas and the Dutch creams and make his money. But he's got four more in testing. So they bring a little sapling into the country through customs. And then they take propagations of that. And then they make lots of little trees. And then they collect the first batch of potatoes. And that's their seed stock for 1 year. And we won't be able to buy those potatoes until you get to your third year. So those Maris Pipers are three-year-old seed stock. And as I said, he's got quite a few more varieties he's bringing out. So good farmers.
Very quickly, talk to me about the Purple Congo varieties.
We have a really great amount of coloured potatoes. So Purple Congo is probably one of the first purple potatoes to hit the market. Tony agrees they're a little bit mealy and dry, but they make great julienne chips.
Or gnocchi.
They're a bit of hard work with gnocchi because they're a bit dry, and therefore we don't recommend them. But as I said, julienne fried and in a salad, very small portions of them in a small salad. I always say 40% Purple Congos to 60% kiflas. Mix them up.
I love
very beautiful colour contrast.
My favourite potato.
But we do have, I'm not sure if Tony's had it, but it's a potato called either a Purple Jester or a Purple Majesty, and it's just a normal potato in texture, in fluffiness, and it's a pretty good all-rounder. You could make a gnocchi out of that. We also then have a really good pink potato. which I'm not sure if Tony.
Which actually, when you cook and mash, it remains pink.
It remains pink, and it is the most. If you want to make a beautiful pink gnocchi or a beautiful pink mash,
that's got to be the gayest potato you've got.
It is, and I've had a few people come in, and I tell them what's the best one, and they said, "No, we need more jazz than that." So if you need more jazz in your mash, it's called a Viking, and it's pink. We constantly have it in store, and you make pink gnocchi, and it's a beautifully soft pink, so it's not. It doesn't look artificial. You can tell it's a natural, beautiful pink, and it's very jazzy.
Well, we're going to have a couple of quick messages, which keeps this station on air, and we'll be back to wrap this up with Tony Twitchett from Taxi Dining Room and Georgie from Georgie's Harvest at South Melbourne Market.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen. Joy 94.9.
Yeah. It is indeed. 2 minutes to two, coming up very shortly, are the very fabulous lads from Fender Bender. They're going to talk about cars. They do that every week. I'll take you through an hour of what's new on the car market, which is all very fun, and what cars that you should be driving or not. It's all very interesting. I'm going to be making sure I tune in. Now, very quickly, tonight, because of Bastille Day, from 3 p.m. At the Evening Star at the South Melbourne Market, Georgie. Mm-hmm. It's an all-day indulgence of dance, music, gluttony and chic irreverence of gargantuan proportions, all in the name of Bastille Day.
Absolutely. So Claypots down at South Melbourne Market are having a Bastille Day party. They've been working on it for months. There's a lot of love going into this party, and it's going to be a really good, happy party. Lots of probably alcohol. I've heard there's can-can dancers, naughty puppets, so I'm going to say raunchy puppets, stilt walkers, which should be interesting after a few drinks. And yeah, Renan's going crazy.
Can dress up or undress, and that there'll be a live webcast to friends who are in fact in Europe. So
they are doing that.
If you want to celebrate Bastille Day in the only way you should, then head to Claypots at the South Melbourne Market. I'm sure you will have a very, very good time. Corner of York and Cecil Streets. Stall number 50 at South Melbourne Markets. Yes. Do you have a website?
I do, georgesharvest.com. It's brand new. We're very excited.
So, excellent. Yeah. And Tony, people can, of course, come and see you at Taxi Dining Room. You're at Federation Square, and new websites not so long ago for you.
Yes, yes, up and running. Yeah, so you can pop on there, check our menus, check Taxi out what's coming up. We've got a few wine dinners later this month, which will be good to
fancy.
See some people down there.
I do like a wine dinner. I need to go to more of those, I think. I'll be back next week. I don't know what we're doing next week. I don't know whether I have decided or whether I simply can't remember. But, of course, it will be a show that's full of joy and fun things and food and what have you. No doubt there'll be wine involved, because we've had a couple of weeks of shows without wine. So we must get our wine on. I'll be back then. Have a good week. Keep yourself nice. Goodbye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.